On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys. It's happening. Oh, my God, guys. Oh, my God. I wish you all were here.
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No.
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
I'm thinking about NHL 94. That's what I'm thinking. I'm seeing. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure what the f*** this is. I'm about to find out.
This is Tall Can Audio.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome back into the Tall Can Audio podcast. This is episode number 723. My name's Matt. His name's Rob. What are you saying tonight, man?
I'm saying it feels like fall.
It really does. We've had some like 8-degree nights and it's gorgeous though. Ooh. That's a Guinness. True. That's a Guinness.
That's black magic, my friend. That's what that is right there. I don't care how many poets and artists and whatever have come out of the Emerald Isle. This is the greatest thing ever.
Okay.
That the Irish have ever done.
Ever.
Ever. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm hearing you, man. Nice. That is an unmistakable release.
Yeah.
It's the crack and then the gurgle and the, like the widget.
Yeah. It's saying you're in for good times. That's what it's saying.
Pleased to be with you to start another work week as we kick off a Monday morning with you. And, you know,
I'm slightly indifferent to it, but
make sure you join us on Tuesday, September 1st. Dan Schulman on the pod. Live from a bunker somewhere in the woods, by the sounds of the audio, I can tell you that.
And, it's right next to a tire fire in Buffalo.
You'd almost think. Really pumped that Dan was able to join us. The audio, you know, a little suspect, but we're going to take it because we were really happy that that Dan made a little time for us. So I hope you will check that one out. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening to this to catch Dan Schulman. And we made a conscious choice based on when we were going to record the show to not talk a ton about the current Blue Jays, because between the time that the show was going to be released and when we spoke is the trade deadline. You know, sports have been on and off, who's playing, who's not. And so we just talked mainly about his career and his journey kind of through Canadian broadcasting to ESPN and back. And he had some pretty amusing stories that looking forward to sharing with you. Like I said, Tuesday, September 1st, you'll be able to check that one out on Tall Can Audio. Dan's one of the best, man.
Well, and really what Matt's saying is we've disguised me as Dan Schulman, so the audio is actually... It's actually quite poor. It couldn't be.
We didn't say the takes were going to be poor. We
just, yeah. Okay. It's me actually standing next to a microwave.
Right. Yeah. With his head in it.
Yes. Exactly.
So, we had one down in 2002-03. I went to college for a year. It didn't go that great in Sarnia.
And, Matt, college, take one. Clack.
Yeah, take two, way better, but take one. Yeah. That's not good. It's not good. And we had a few of us that were sitting one night watching the Leafs get beat by the Flyers in the first round of the playoffs.
A rite of passage for most Leaf fans in the spring.
Sure. And so we're sitting around and we're drinking the Bubbas. You remember those?
Of course.
Yeah, of Molson Canadian. And somebody came in. We didn't know who was, couldn't have possibly cared less about the hockey game, threw something in the microwave on the counter behind us, started warming it up.
In foil or in something like that, right?
I wish, man. Oh. Decided it was done before the beeper went, hit the button to open the door opens, and the microwave kept running. And he's just like, oh my God, and dove and hit the floor, right? Like, and it's like, bzz, bzz, shooting around the room. Like, what is this? What's happening right now?
Everyone's sterile in the room, yeah, as if the Belleville drinking water wasn't already.
This is Sarnia. I hadn't been to Belleville yet. Come
okay,
on.
Sorry, sorry, sorry. Okay, even better. Yeah.
For sure. So that was my Sarnia fucking, you know, whatever. My head in the microwave story.
Close to that other good water source, you know, on the other side of the river.
They call it the Clearwater Bridge. I'm not sure that's an accurately named. Yeah.
At one point.
Yeah, exactly.
I think when the French explorer Detroit first showed up here, that's when it was.
Detroit.
Clear. Yeah.
I'm finishing off my Nita. I'm back into the toasted summer porter. Had two left in the fridge. Grab them to bring in right now. It's a low 3.8%. It's a light porter. And I think, like you said, man, it doesn't really feel like summer anymore. I'm ready for a winter porter, something a little heartier, a little thicker. It's nice, cool sleeping at night, though.
I love it. Although I'm still in the pool at 6:30 a.m. every morning.
All the way to November.
No, all the way to Labor Day. So next week is actually, because it's now that polar vortex under the pool. Has it at about 58. So
there's this one remaining, the last remaining iceberg on Earth is right underneath Rob's pool.
Yeah. So I have to get out and use a hand dryer on my business. And, you know, it's not good. It's not flattering.
No, I get that.
It's not helping me sell anything in my skinny jeans.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Tall Can Audio. There will not be images of that if you give us a follow. He's at Captain Blowhard. I have no idea what he might post a picture of. And, give a follow, find out for yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
We've discussed, I think last Sunday, I had this on the agenda as like the main topic, and we didn't even get to it at all. The idea that what the next NHL season might look like. And there's some talk that maybe there's going to need to be temporary realignment. Maybe you're going to need to have four bubbles that eight teams at a time kind of rotate through to see each other, then go take a week or two break. I remember when we first started talking about this, I said that I felt like it was going to be way easier to finish this season than to start a new one, because you're not going to bubble for 6 or 8 months and, you know, 31 teams, things like that. But maybe if you had rotating bubbles or something like that, maybe that works. You can go home for a week or two, but then you do have to quarantine again when you get back. The one that I saw that was in The Athletic and that I sent to you and we'll share by Eric Duhatchik. He was pitching a 7-team Canadian division and then a couple of American divisions, and it would eliminate your cross-border travel. And so we will share that article. And he presented both sides of it, that maybe you would still travel across Canada like you normally did, or maybe you would bubble again, right? You would get all 7 Canadian teams together in Edmonton for a couple of weeks, they'd play, then go home, then get them together again in wherever, Toronto, bubble and go home. But it eliminates the cross-border travel. And I wonder what your first reaction to the suggestion itself was.
Well, it's like one of those, it's like a fantasy sports game, really, right? You're just, at this point, nothing is too absurd.
No, everything's on the table.
Yeah, everything is absolutely on the table. And so, if you're a Senator fan, it's a tough time to be coming into an all Canadian division because, man, most of the Canadian teams seem to be on the
uptick.
Pretty
competitive right now.
Right, this is exactly right. You're looking for, where's my Buffalo at? Where's my Detroit at?
Well, we're all wondering
here?
That.
Yeah,
we could all use some more Detroit Buffalo.
A couple soft spots to land, right?
Yeah.
I like the idea. I'm super intrigued. And he was talking, as you said, maybe up to 6 bubbles, right? In terms of two up north, four south of the 49th, right? And so I like it. And I think there's, you'd hate to also be in that, what used to be the old Metropolitan or Smythe division. No, Patrick, the Patrick division, right? With your two New Yorks, your New Jersey, your Philly, your Pittsburgh, your Washington. Honestly, there was just like, yeah, it's a murderer's row.
Yeah. Well, even going into it this year, we were like, well, at least Columbus will be the bitch. Like, nope. Like, here they are still knocking people off. All right. We can't both drink at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. It was super intriguing. And he was pitching the idea of kind of doing it in, commit to the first half a season.
Yeah.
Don't commit to a full 82 game schedule. See what happens. Give yourself a little flexibility. It's funny. He also,
in case you could let fans back in.
Right. And because this is obviously the, you need the release valve for that, because that's what the NHL is looking for.
Yeah.
But the idea that, and he touched on it in the article, and to me, it's so true, that when the pandemic first arrived in March and we were all like, oh, what's going to happen the summer? We're going to get the game, you know, and it's going to come back and then everything's going to be rosy. And then you're like, oh yeah, but now we're doing that. And the reality of that is, you know, we have maybe another 6 weeks and they award the cup. Mm-hmm. In between then you have the draft. Then technically, you know, air quotes, training camps are opening
mid-November.
In mid-November, and then the season starts. And so, but yeah, the
it all sounds pretty easy, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's how quickly things are happening.
Yes.
But the flip side of that is, it's like we all thought, okay, the summertime, that's a long time away, and maybe there'll be a vaccine, maybe something, you know, whatever, you know, maybe the virus will just be gone.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Okay, but it's, yeah, the reality is, yeah, it hasn't gone anywhere.
No.
Nothing has really changed other than our attitudes perhaps towards it have slightly, we're all a little smarter. But the reality is,
are we?
Like, well, where are we talking about, Matt, well, right? What general locales are you speaking of?
The thing that gets lost in this a lot is, you know, just reading people way smarter than me, which isn't really that hard, saying human beings on a genetic level, on a biological level, can't live in fear forever. So you get used to it, right? You get used to the you have a far better chance of catching the virus now when you step outside your front door than you did in March. But it's here now, right? It's been here a while. You've gotten used to it. You can't live as a species, you can't live in fear forever. And so your body eventually gets used to it, adapts. And so even if you continue to do the things you're supposed to do, you wear the masks and you social distance and this and that, eventually you let your guard down a little bit because you just can't stay on guard forever. And so we all feel now like maybe this is more doable than we felt like it was in April, when in actuality, it's worse now than it was in April, which is such a strange thing to, all these sports look like they're doing pretty well, right? Like in terms of keeping the virus out of the bubble, but they're not going to bubble for 8 months. You're going to have to come back to kind of do what baseball's doing. And that's been a mixed bag at best.
Yeah. And the reality is it's, there's not going to be any change between now and January.
No,
that's the reality.
Yeah.
Right. And so, there has to be other options if you're going to pursue a 2020-2021 season.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is on the table, right? And so you have to look at some kind of a modified bubble if you're going to go that route, right?
Yeah.
He lost me a bit in terms of the comprehension of the, you know, in for 2 weeks and out for 2 weeks, what that really looks like on a schedule, right? Like, does Ottawa roll into an Edmonton bubble for 2 weeks, and then they sort of do a one-stop tour of Western Canada? You know what I mean? Like,
you hit your
Winnipegs and you hit your Vancouvers and your Calgarys and your Edmontons.
You probably hit them two or three times, right?
Right, and you do that in that two-week period. Bam, you go out in your home, and then maybe you're into
Toronto, let's say.
Toronto, right.
And all the East teams are home, and you play three or four division games against where you're the home team, right?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. And that's, it's one of those things where you sort of go, all right. And I like the idea if you want to, and he said right in the article, right? It's like hearkening back to the original six era, right? Where you go, yeah, I'm going to see that team 12 times this year.
Well, you don't even have to go back that far.
I hate those guys.
Right? No, for sure. You should be fucking indifferent to Calgary, but fuck, like enough. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it doesn't even go back that far, right? Like in the mid 2000s, you were playing your division rivals 8 times a year.
Yeah.
And again, you were fucking sick of them then. Like I can remember playing Ottawa 8 times. And that, if I'm not mistaken, one of the years where the Leafs finished lower in the standings, Ottawa had gone 7-1 against Toronto, I think,
exactly,
or 7-0-1.
Yeah, 7-1 is the number I had in mind.
Yeah. And Toronto won in the playoffs. And you're like, so, but just as an example, like, I went into that series, we're fucked. We are so fucked, right? Like,
yeah.
You get sick of those guys, and it does build rivalries, which is, I guess, what the league's supposed to be all about right now. That's why they went back to this sort of half-assed divisional thing that they're doing now. But I think
it gets tiring in March.
Yes.
Right. When you're like, this is game 7 of the season series.
We saw these guys 3 times in 2 weeks.
But how good was it when you rolled into April, when you rolled into the playoffs and you're like, I really hate that.
Yes.
Already that built-in animosity.
No,
right?
It's true. What do you think then? Like it sounds fun to us up here who largely, for now, we'll see when school's open and everything, have the virus under control, and you have 7 passionate fan bases. It's not anywhere near that easy for the other whatever, right? Yeah. However many divisions south of the border, does it work? Do the bubbles, like you said, 2 weeks off and then 2 weeks into an Edmonton bubble doesn't involve a quarantine up here, right? Like in theory, you're just traveling around, and there are states in the U.S. that are like, yeah, no, if you've been in Florida, you aren't coming into New York without a quarantine or whatever it might be. I wonder what that looks like and if it's feasible. It's fun for us up here. I don't know if it's actually feasible.
I think what it comes down to is if you are one of those teams, right, you have to, if you're going to make this, you have to look at alternate arrangements.
Yeah.
It in terms of, don't live in a cesspool.
Looking at you, Buffalo.
or Florida.
Yeah.
Florida man, ..
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Spreads virus nationwide. Those
that was before COVID.
Yes, exactly. I hear what you're saying. And they are looking at, the teams that originally bid on or put their names in for bubbles. Options or hub cities in the original one, right?
Columbus, New York,
Columbus, Minnesota, Dallas,
Chicago,
LA, Chicago, I believe, Pittsburgh,
Vegas, yeah.
Oh, Vegas.
There was a few.
Yeah, so they're looking at sort of revisiting, and he proposed, Dehatchik proposed in his article, sort of spreading it around. Now, he put LA and Vegas, and I'm like, that's like a 3-hour trip in between. Yep. Those are fairly tight.
It's Toronto, Ottawa.
Yeah, so I'm not sure that's spreading it out, but what are you going to do?
Yep.
And I don't have it all. I'm sort of looking at it by memory because, as you said, I did look at it. I did read the article last Sunday. They had St. Louis in the West, I think, like in the far West, and you're like, that's the gateway to the West, St. Louis?
There's an arch right there. They're trying to show you.
I get it, but it's showing you way off in the distance is the West, right? And so, it's not perfect because they are looking at the 7-team Canadian division, but they're looking at 3 8-team American divisions was how they broke that up, 24 down. Yeah, no, I know so.
Okay. So heaven forbid.
yeah, exactly. So it's
far flung, but it's interesting.
Well, And it's one of those things where what else are you going to do? What's the next best? I'm on board with it already.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, tiny perfect commissioner.
Because when the rest of the U.S. just burns to the fucking ground on November 4th, we can just keep the league running up here.
Oh, yeah. Okay, because it's going to wait till the 4th. Yeah, because it's in great shape right now.
Yeah, well, I'm a little concerned about the old election day and what might play out down there. Speaking of burned to the fucking ground, how about the Arizona Coyotes, who over the last, at some point last week, got absolutely smoked by the NHL. And this had been a story that was going on for a little while. For those who hadn't been keeping up, they'd been doing some additional testing of prospects, and there are rules set out on when you can bring guys in. You're supposed to really just evaluate at the combine, and I guess the Coyotes had sort of gone ahead and were doing their own thing outside of that, and this had been known at least since, I don't know, January or February, at yeah. least. And there was sort of this wait and see, we'll investigate, we'll find out what that's all going to look like. And this week, the league came down on them and said, you will forfeit a first-round pick this year and a second-round pick next year.
No, it's the other way around.
Is it the other way? Oh, because they've already dealt.
Taylor Hall is their first round this year.
Well,
it's a second this year and a first.
The brutal part of it, and it may indicate that Taylor Hall should pack his bags. If he were to re-sign in Arizona, there was some conditional picks. That means he would also cost them their whatever the opposite I just fucking said. Like they would have no first or second this year. And no first or second next year, you're leaving Taylor Hall. You won't be back. Did you find that?
You need to sign that guy because you got no picks.
Well, there's that too, I suppose. Were you surprised they came down that hard? I got to be honest, I was.
I was very surprised.
Gary always lets you off the hook, right? Look at the Kovalchuk thing, and look at
yeah. And this is a franchise formerly owned by the NHL, yes. right? That does anything it can, and it's truly the redheaded stepchild of the league.
Yeah.
It has virtually no prospects in its system, right? Like it's just it's already bankrupt in terms of what they have in the system. This is super punitive in terms of a punishment, mm-hmm. right? I was amazed. Right, that especially in this year when, well, that you're talking about a mid to late mid first round pick.
Yeah.
I
thought it was well more than I expected for sure, because like I said, the NHL always sort of, yeah, we looked at it, but we're just going to let you off the hook. One of the things that I love about this, and I understand that it leaves me open to all kinds of Kyle Dubas comparisons, but John Chyka comes into Arizona, decides, I'm going to do everything that the old hockey guys hate. I'm going to win nothing. I'm going to break the rules, and I'm going to peace the fuck out before the things come crashing down around me. Right? He's gone. He's out. And Arizona's left to clean up his mess, essentially. Yeah.
Well, and this you've jumped ahead of me, because that's exactly where I was going. The guy, the architect of it.
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be something waiting for that guy somewhere. Cyanide pill. I don't know. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah.
On a podcast, no less.
Yeah. Where nothing crazy ever gets said.
Sorry about that, Jeff. But yeah, John. Like, to me. And you too, John. Yeah, that this is the guy, the architect of this. Really, it's like cool guys don't look at explosions, yeah. right? Just walking away.
And don't think about the people you've killed, I believe. Yes, the rest of that
exactly. And the Coyotes are just a flame behind them, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. It's once again, it's tough to be a Coyote.
Well, and as you've suggested, they've got nothing. Like Barrett Hayden, I guess, is their top prospect. they're looking to deal OEL because he's long since overstayed his usefulness and at the cap hit, I guess. I don't think it's been that long since he re-signed his deal, maybe a year or two.
Yeah, for eight, I think it's seven times eight.
Yeah, I think it was, I want to stay here and finish my career. Yeah. I don't think that's happening, buddy, so.
You may not have a choice.
Right.
He may have a home in Toronto.
No. God, I hope not.
Hey, man, I'm telling you right now, they're freeing up cap space. They're looking for...
They are freeing up cap.
Yeah, really freeing them up, letting them go.
Bags packing in.
I'm interested in after you broke the trade down last week with
When we had Mike Comito on, talked a little bit about it, and
it's really when it comes down to what's the next move there.
Well, that's the $1 million question, right? I think he's going to try and free up a little more. Myrtle had in the Athletic here last week a couple other names that they were dangling, including Freddie. Yeah. And, you know.
What about Janssen? Janssen.
Yeah, I could see that.
Remember when we talked about it, remember when they signed those two for three and change and four and change or whatever it was, and you thought if they continue to improve and meet expectations, easily unloadable contracts, right? Yep. I think is how we both described those.
Yeah, if it works, great. If it doesn't, easily tradable.
And so I don't know what Kapanen's upside really is. I think it's better than what he did this year. I think it's safe to say.
He's an interesting guy, and I'll admit I'm stealing this sort of evaluation or this line from Justin Bourne several months ago, who said, Kapanen is the same guy no matter where you put him. If he's with Matthews or Tavares, he's still kind of a 20-goal guy, just does what he does. And if you drop him down to the third line, he's kind of still a 20-goal guy and does what he does. He goes, as a third liner, that's useful, but you better make sure you're paying him as a third liner because he doesn't seem to get elevated by better players. And Babcock tried it, and Keefe tried it. This isn't a Babcock thing, where let's move him up and let's put him on the left side with Tavares and Marner. And he's just lobbing passes into the shin pads and stuff. Like he doesn't seem to think the game as fast as he skates the game. You would see him blowing up the ice all the time and then just sort of ending up in the corner looking for a pass as everyone else is catching up. And
he was super noticeable though in the play-in round against Columbus. There was times where that line that he was on
with Kerfoot and Robertson was
noticeable, right? There was some times where to me, they seem like the most effective line.
Yeah, I think what you're going to see, I think what Dubas has decided is, for he had 13 goals this year, so with whatever, 70 games in the books, so maybe he gets 15 or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's call him somewhere between a 15 and 20 goal guy. If Robertson is coming in and Barabanov is coming in, I think Dubas believes I'm going to find those 15 to 20 goals between those two guys.
Yep.
And I can do that at almost league minimum. And so if you're going to start shipping pieces out, that was an okay place to get a first round pick. Like, they got three really good pieces there in the prospect, the cap space, and the pick.
Yeah.
And if you could have gotten just any two of those three, I would have said that was a really good deal.
Yeah. Well, I like to shit on Dubas.
Yeah, of course.
But to me, the fact that they were, and I'm not sure, like, I know Rutherford's a bit like a drunken sailor on shore leave, right? Like,
yeah, but he's got to go for it.
I know, but a first, a first for Kapanen, I'm with you there.
I wouldn't have given up a first for Kapanen. I was thrilled with the return.
Well, and why today? Like, why, or like late last week?
Right.
Why don't you wait closer to draft? Like, what, you got to get on that sweet Kapanen action? Like, like I
cheeks are clapping. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like a steep.
I agree. I think if you were going to deal a first, I'm totally down with him dealing a first because that's where they're at. That they're going to ride that Crosby Malkin thing into the ground, and they should. You probably could have found something better if you'd have just waited a little while.
Yeah. And Rutherford's a Hall of Fame GM.
Yep.
Right? Three, he's orchestrated three cups.
Yep.
right? And one in Carolina and two in Pittsburgh.
That's right.
But and you're spot on. He is absolutely continually all in, right? He's only kept one first round pick in the 6 or 7 years that he's been in Pittsburgh, right? All the other firsts have been flipped out for
Was two until this year, and then he traded to get one of them back, and so now he gets to say he only did
Okay. All right.
Kapanen was his first round pick in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He just essentially traded his 2014 or his 2020 first round pick for his 2014 first round pick.
Yeah. Okay. Whoops. Sorry. I stand corrected. for other gems like Ryan Reeves and Derek Brassard, those are the kinds of things that he was flipping out. But I just think it was steep, man. So
it
to me, it's a feather in Dubas's cap, you know. And really, do they keep that pick?
I think it's
going to be a decent pick at 15.
Yep.
I'm wondering if they use that to further leverage.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think both those things are on the table, right? I think if they get, you know, a chance to land a defenseman that would really help them, I think they would move the pick. But I also could see, you know, after having dealt your first overall or your first round pick last year, and you know, really at the end of the day, they're now two picks behind the Marlowe pick that they had to deal at the beginning of this year. You know, I could see them keeping it. I could see them dealing it. And really, I think the move that he made here opens up some doors again and allows him to do some things that maybe he wouldn't have before. And that's why I said, I think if you'd have gotten any two of the three, you know, things that they got back this time, it would have been worth it. And to get all three allows him to do some things. He's got the cap space, he's got the pick, and now he's got a prospect that he didn't have before either. So
see, and I was looking in preparation for this, I was looking at upcoming free agents.
Yeah.
Right? Be they a goalie or a D.
Yep.
And so there's some interesting guys out there. Yeah, I think Dmitry Kulikov would look awesome in a Leafs jersey.
Yeah.
But a bunch sure of other guys.
I kind
of
like fucking rates Mello. I think he'd be a good Leaf. Dylan DeMello, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think guys like TJ Brody, Travis Hamonic.
Brody's the one that Leaf fans keep talking about. And don't get me wrong, I'd like to have him. But if I'm not mistaken, he was supposed to be the return in the Kadri deal when Kadri said, I'm not going to Calgary before he got dealt to Colorado. And as soon as Kadri said, I won't go to Calgary, Brody added the Leafs, if I'm not mistaken, to his limited no trade. So
okay,
he may not be as interested as Leaf fans want him to be in signing in Toronto. Now, maybe that was mid-season. I don't want to move. But I don't know. But it doesn't suggest he's super eager to be a Leaf. Otherwise, he would be a guy I'd be interested in.
I got one for you, though, Matt.
Okay. Zaitsev.
Cody Ceci would be a great new sign there. Had Dubas sitting there saying, I know all you dough heads.
Yeah.
We have
our internal analytics stud.
Yeah. Say he's coming back and he's coming at 50% of the cash, but 100% of the turnovers. Torey Krug.
Oh boy.
That's got Dubas written all over it right there.
Yeah.
Bring that guy in. Oh, he runs a mean power play.
Yeah, he does.
He does. I'm not discounting that, but I'm saying.
He knows how to shank it by us in a hurry.
Well, but I think he's just the kind of guy that, man.
Another Barry?
Yep, doubling down, right? You know, do you think he's learned? You go, how much does having trying to force feed Barry into that number one power play and backseating Morgan Rielly, and how much that's sort of messed with the mojo there. I'm seeing Torey Krug as an absolute overpay right there.
what were your thoughts on the rumors that have been floating around about Bruce Boudreau? Because I remember saying, I don't remember how long ago, that the Leafs were the type of team in, you know, where you're not constrained by the cap, that might be the type of guy that they could throw head coach money at to come and be an assistant coach. But I wonder what...
He sounds like a co-coach, Matt.
Yeah, okay. And I wonder, and I did then too, what does that do to Sheldon Keefe? Have you immediately put him on the hot seat?
On notice.
Yeah. We got your replacement right here, buddy, standing right beside you. But for those who don't know, Bruce Boudreau has made no bones about the fact, even throughout his career coaching the Caps and the Ducks and the Wild, he's remained a Leaf fan for some reason. The same reason we're all still here, I guess.
No, no, we're not all there.
Well, so the we Leaf fans are still here, being punished year after year. He's a guy who knows how to run a power play, which they need help on. He's an experienced guy that could maybe help Sheldon Keefe, but it does create a fascinating dynamic in the organization. Did you have any thoughts on that as a...
Yeah, we'll see. Much like the Tavares, you know, Toronto Maple Leaf sheets, there's one of Bobby Hill, which is a young Bruce Boudreau, with his shirts... With the shirts too short, you can see his belly button hanging out at the bottom of his Leaf PJs.
His chicken, he's got the chicken wing bib.
Yep.
With the Leaf logo instead of the PJs.
It's partially rolled up. Yep. To me it's somebody asked me, he said it would be cool, right? Like he hasn't sort of distanced himself from it.
He also said they haven't called him.
Yeah. But let's make one thing clear here. Bruce Boudreau is not an assistant coach. Like, this is a guy who's been a head coach, worked his way up from the ECHL up through the A. Like, to me, he is not a... So if this is one of those things, he's coming in with the understanding that,
Well, then I don't see it happening. I think this is Dubas's guy.
Then I think you and I have come to the same point then. I think it's a great talking point.
Yes, it is.
I don't see, right? And I don't know, I can't speak for Sheldon himself, but that's a guy who likewise in the Sioux with Pembroke, right? Mm-hmm. That this was a guy who in Pembroke who ran his own show.
Yeah.
He was the guy there, right? And so I don't see him as a guy who, you know, wants to bring in his potential replacement because Boudreau is a head coach,
right?
Right, and so to me, if Boudreau is looking at saying, all right, you know what, from Washington and Anaheim and now into Mini, perhaps now I need to take a step back to take another step forward again. Mm-hmm. It's if he takes an assistance gig, it's for a year until something pops up and he's sort of rehabbed his. Like, he's not a Paul McLean kind of guy, right? Or a Dave Cameron.
No, he's not.
Some of the head coaches.
Well, there's talk. He may go back to Washington as their head coach.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I could see that.
Yeah.
Like, he was there when they weren't yet ready to win. I could see him going back there and having some success. And that group's on its last legs, right? They're getting a little older and whatever. But I could see him having some success there, and the only reason he does the Toronto thing is because he decides that's more important, to come home, do the childhood dream thing. And I've read in some places, I don't want to get too deep into it because I don't know enough of the details. His mother is aging and lives in Toronto. Maybe he wants to. Those are the reasons you come home and do that. They're sentimental and not professional, right? Like, he's getting up there a little bit as well. I think he's in his 60s. 62 or something like that. This is just one of those things I want to do as opposed to being ambitious and still wanting to, whatever it might be, take the Caps and take another run at that as the head coach. I don't think the Toronto assistant coach job is his number one, like, I can't wait to get that. But I do think it's something he would consider. But I wonder what it says in the organization. I don't think if they hire him, it's with the understanding that, you know, you're 1 7-game losing streak away from being the head coach. I think Kyle's going to run with Sheldon for at least another year or two.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and yeah, who lasts longer if things don't go well? And I don't know what that looks like, right? Because the Leafs could put up 105 points in whatever the season looks like next year.
Who knows?
It doesn't matter though, right?
No, it doesn't.
Their season starts with playoffs,
May or
right?
whatever the fuck that's going to be.
This is it. June, sure. July, into the summer, right?
Leafs are playing in June.
Yeah, that's maybe in another fantastical play-in round. Who knows, right? In terms of how many teams get in next year. You know what? Forget it. Next year, everybody gets in.
Yeah.
Everybody. There is no playoffs.
Sweet.
Yeah, we're just going to sort of roll it around here. Nobody's making any money anyways, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder if Sheldon Keefe, right, how secure he is. And like I said, being a guy who's.
Well, that'll be Dubas's last bullet, right? Like.
Yeah.
You get to fire a coach. This coach, Babcock, wasn't his coach. He gets to fire Keefe before he goes down. That seems to be the rules across the league, right? You hire your guy, he doesn't work, you fire him, and now you're on. Now, I said, you know, when they got eliminated, now is Dubas's time. He's cleaned up all the Lou mess, all that's gone. This is now his, you know, his mess, his situation. But I do think he probably gets to fire Keefe before he gets fired, I assume.
Sure, I hope they both happen soon.
Like in the next couple weeks? Or?
Yeah, well, no. I'm hoping there's another flame out next year, and then they both get canned.
Yeah.
Speaking of Lou, and I want to segue over to something else.
Were we? We can, yeah, but I don't know if
you,
we were.
You brought him up. You said cleaning up Lou's mess.
Oh, yeah, I did.
And really, it's just Lou's in the periphery. That Islanders team, right? And the series has kind of bounced back. But if you look at the way those guys are playing, right, with two sort of, I don't know, the top two lines, and you're like, you got guys like Brock Nelson and Anders Lee and Barzal, and there's some good pieces, and Beauvillier, you know, there's some interesting pieces there.
There's a Gomez and an Iliash and a Sikora and a...
Yeah, okay, and then you got the bottom half where you're like, you know, Matt Martin and whoever this...
Leo Comer.
Yeah, and so you have your... Yeah, the best fourth line in hockey. Anyways, but you look at this, how effective their forecheck has been. And it's one of those things where I don't understand how many times have you watched a playoff series where they're like, yeah, we're going to forecheck them. We're just going to do these things. And you're like, yeah, that's what everybody wants to do. And you go, but it seems to be working there. And I'm not, everybody says it. It just isn't always as effective. It seems bizarre. Oh, don't forget about my boy, John Gabriel. Down there, killing it.
Unfortunately for you, you cut out there at the worst possible second. Your boy is John Gabriel Pacheco. far as the audio went, and don't forget about my boy. As happens to
Matt
senators.
Matt is actually my son. That's what I actually said right in there. It's very awkward. For sure.
I've been tinkering with the audio. You're right. He's been effective.
There's actually a bunch of people that wish there, really.
Sure. John Shannon.
Yeah.
he could disown, unload.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that, man. That's a good callback. That's a good way back. It's a good way back take.
The Islanders to me are frustrating to watch because it just looks more like everything I don't want the sport to be. And I'm watching them hold tight to teams that I, in my mind, believe are better. And it was... it's just not interesting hockey.
Yeah.
And it looks like, at least for a little while longer, it's going to work. Because I'm not, we both, I think, picked Philly to be in the playoffs. I think I had, or not in the, yeah, in the playoffs. I think I had them finishing second. I think you had them finishing third. But I wasn't sold on them as, cup favorites or anything. So it
I think
wouldn't.
It's reversed. I think I had them in second.
I absolutely know I had them in second, and you.
Okay, you're right. I think I had Carolina in second. You're right.
And
I take it back, Matt. Can we erase that? Can we clip that right out?
No. Only the things that make me look bad.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's so few of those for me, so I don't mind leaving the odd little nugget in there. No problem.
I promise you, there's more than there are of me that are left in these shows.
Yeah,
so.
Okay, no problems.
Yeah, it just, like, it wouldn't shock me if they took down the Flyers. Like, that's fine, but I just, you keep seeing this team that's not that talented, but they're that good systematically, and it's different. I know I referenced the Gomez, Sikora, Iliash, Holik, whatever Devils that Lou had put together in 95, but that's what this reminds me of. They come up against more skilled teams and just bore you into submission and push you outside. And I mean, good on them. They're not breaking any rules. They're not whatever, but fuck, it sucks. Like, it's not fun to watch.
Although they score more than those 90s Devils do.
I guess.
And really, yeah, they have.
They also do not have a Stevens or Niedermeyer or a Rafalski, which are pretty key ingredients.
Or a Brodeur.
No. How dare you insult Varlamov and Greiss?
Hey, well, you know what? Greiss is one of those guys. If you send Freddie packing, Thomas Greiss.
Yeah, he's going to be part of our cheap tandem.
This is it, man. That's where you're going to save your cash.
Yeah.
Bring in Greiss at about 2.5.
Greiss and Soupy. Off we go.
Yeah, keep Campbell there at a little less than a mil.
Whatever.
You guys
take a run at it.
Yeah.
Can't go worse.
Sounds like a Saturday night. I'd take a run at that. Whatever.
Get over here, Gracie. I'm running at you, buddy.
Oof.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see that. You're talking about my skinny jeans take. You and Thomas Greiss.
I couldn't pick Thomas Greiss out of a lineup. I don't know that matters. Nobody wants to see it regardless. But.
Yeah, he may be picking you out. That's all that
is. He should.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, no, they're annoying to watch. I haven't cared much for any of the series that they've been involved in, but, I mean, they're full value. Like, the Panthers were an offensive team, and they got taken down. The Islanders then played...
Yep. Somebody else.
Somebody else. Another team.
Yeah, they took down one of the teams out of the only team that didn't make it in from the play-ins was...
Wasn't the Penguins, wasn't the Habs, wasn't the Blue Jackets, wasn't... This is great audio.
You know
they
what?
Definitely played somebody.
They took down Washington.
They did take down another, you know, offensive, better team, in my opinion. Maybe wasn't that interesting. Like, this is one of those things that we keep talking about in the bubble.
Yeah.
How much do you want to read into it? But it keeps happening. At some point, the further we get into it, the more valuable these takes have to be.
And to me, what it comes down to takes, is... Yeah, valuable. To me, the thing is, I think in the bubble, what it comes down to is you're not playing in front of any fans, right? It's not like you're running out in a must-win game. You're down 3-1, but you're at home.
Ovi buries one. The crowd goes crazy, and it goes straight to the legs of your third line, who puts a good shift together. And
no, but instead you're like, we're down 3-1.
I'm just going to go home.
In the series, and there's nobody here, and, you know, I miss my family, I miss whatever. And
I'd like to not be here.
Guess what? I think, you know, it's 50% easier to mentally pack it in.
To quit.
I think that bubble life gives you about 50% less fortitude.
Well, I think that was the last thing you wanted to touch on here was the...
Yeah.
How that's wearing on teams, and I think in a different way... we saw earlier in the week Jonathan Marchessault ripping into some fans on Instagram who were commenting. He had put up some picture. I can't remember. It was something to do with his family or his kids or whatever. And someone commented, maybe a little less time thinking about the family, maybe a little more time scoring goals or whatever. And he commented something like, why don't you go home and suck on your mama's titties or something like that? And you're like, yeah, wow. We're just stepping her right up. And then he... took down a couple other fans who were also ripping him in the comments because people suck on the internet. And I think the bubble life is getting to people, man. And not just in the way that you're suggesting, in the fact that it's going to be hard to find a second wind here. If we're down and out, maybe we just stay down and out. I think, you know, people are, you've been locked away now for a month anyway, a little more than that. And yeah, if you're planning on winning the thing, you're going to be bubbled for at least another month. I think it's getting to people.
Well, there's only so many ping pong tournaments you can really get into. How many games of asshole you can play.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's, if,
get an Xbox, man. Get off Instagram.
All the, yeah, like good Sega Genesis.
Yeah. Little Sonic and Knuckles. Or maybe that's what you do after the Sonic
what,
Knuckles.
I'm thinking of what NHL 94. That's what I'm thinking. I'm seeing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm not sure I ever heard that sound effect in the game, but
I think that's back to the Knuckles.
Yeah, I think that's Matt. That's Matt after too many beers and wings.
Good, it's one. Way more like graphic it. Than that.
Exactly. I like the sound effect, though, man. You should hold on to that.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
that's really, to me, that's the end of it.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, I think the bubble life, it's getting rough. You've been away for a while. The Islanders seem to be the only team left having a good time. And I guess it's because they keep just slaying dragons.
Well, listen, it's the teams who are living on borrowed time, right? Like, you look at, you know, late last week, it was the when things were rolling good for Dallas. It was, they were out to Commonwealth, and you got guys taking batting practice. How does Ben Bishop, how is he unfit to play, but yet he's throwing batting practice pitches to, like, Tyler Seguin or somebody who almost cranks a line drive back off his dome? And you're like, this does not seem like wise way to spend your time.
Do you see the guy back in the major leagues? It was something Diaz, I can't remember his name, who took 105 mile an hour line drive right off the fucking peaches.
Yeah.
with
no cup.
Still had the wherewithal to get up and throw the guy out, and then just crumpled and had to be carried off.
Like, stretchered off.
Yeah, like, good for you, man. You're a good team guy, but poor boy.
In this day and age, when we're talking about exit velocity, you're like, I don't need to know that it came off at 105 or 102.
It doesn't even matter.
That came right back
that
off.
Punctured my scrotum at 103.5 miles an hour.
Well, see, the thing is, it's clear that it went off wood and right back onto wood.
Because
if that hits the berries, you are not getting up to throw that guy out at first. I'm telling you that right now. So to me, he's all chimney and not much house. That's what's happening there, right? So I think he's got it.
There was a great video put up on Twitter, slow motion, breaking down the play, and it said afterwards that he had left the game with a testicular contusion, and then the guy goes, "That's a Google image search only for the bold."
Well, and I think in slow mo, I want to hear that same video game sound effect.
Yeah, exactly.
As he rolls over. It's perfect, man. It's perfect.
Yeah, testicular contusion. Don't do it. Don't Google image search it. I'm telling you right now, you're not going to have a good time.
Nobody recommends it.
Hope you all have a great week. It's been a good Monday. Don't forget, Tuesday.
That's tomorrow.
September 1st. Dan Schulman will be on the podcast live from his bunker. And
the man.
One of the greats, for sure.
For sure.
Lots to talk to him about. So we hope you will join us for that one. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening to this one so you don't miss out. We are also on Twitter and Instagram at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. That's TCA for another Monday. We'll catch you all on the next one.
See ya.
Now, if y'all ain't got nothing else for me to drink, I'm a haul ass. No, I'm serious. I'm about to haul ass if y'all have no better shit than this to drink.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.